Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like, in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Everyone, and welcome back to Strictly Hip Hop. As always, I'm your host, Chris Platy, at Real Chris Platy on all of the social medias. And coming back to the podcast for the first time in 2019 is my guy, my buddy, you know him, one half of the Hip Hop Review Podcast, Will Gill. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. 2019, my first time back. New year, but same me, and I'm excited to be here, Chris Platy.
100%, man. First off, I gotta just ask you, man, what's that West Coast weather like? Because I'm dying here in Michigan.
Oh, I can't imagine what you guys are going through. I changed the channel on the news. It's so hurtful to me. But it's a little cold here. You know, it's a chilly 68. You know, I gotta wear a sweater when I go outside. But I'll live. Thank you for your concerns.
You Cali people are ridiculous, man, with your entitled weather. But your Kings are looking pretty good though. More than halfway, about two thirds into the season now, and your Kings are in the playoffs. What do you think?
Yeah, we're going for that AC. We're gonna try to jump up to seven so we could duck the Warriors. But it's a good time to be a Kings fan right now. If you don't know already, best league pass team in the NBA, so make sure you catch some Kings game. They're playing very exciting basketball.
Yeah, man. I definitely would give them an outside shot against any team not named the Warriors, just because that West, like, I love Denver, but they're also young and I don't trust them as well. So, you know, hey, I think the Kings could make a series out of any team. But I'm not gonna lie to you. Will. The Kings, man, when I seen Buddy Hield at the 3-point contest, when I seen him struggle in that second round, there was a little bit of a smile on my face. I cracked a smile.
Why? Because he ran off the court against the Pistons?
Yeah, that's exactly why.
I can't blame you for that one. I was cracking my smile when he hit 26 in the first round to be the leader. And, you know, 26 won it on the second round. So I just like to think Buddy won, if you ask me.
he's co 3-point champion this year. Is that what you that's what you Kings fans are riding with?
If you want to throw in Harris in there, sure, but I think Buddy won by himself.
All right, man. Well, we did not come here to talk hoops, although I got to get you on for a Kings pod. I promised you earlier in the year, so that's still coming. I promise. But we are here to talk about the big 10-year anniversary of Drake's So Far Gone that was just re-released last week on Apple Music and all streaming services. I say Apple Music because that's what I rock with. But, you know, for those of you that don't know So Far Gone, and that's the mixtape, which was actually, Will, were you, like, shocked at the amount of people that just, like, didn't really know of, like, the full So Far Gone mixtape?
Shock? No. It's just this album dropped in 2009. We're going to discuss about this a little more in depth later. But to me, So Far Gone is like the internet's, especially hip hop's internet, first real body of work where you had to hop online and get it. Yeah. And so anything that's kind of like, to me, the first, it's going to be, a lot of people will miss it no matter how big it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But let's give them some context, because I was actually kind of surprised by the number of young homies that I have that I talk music with that didn't know of the real version of this, but we'll get into that a little bit more. So for the background for this, this came after, again, 2009. This came after dropping two well-received mixtapes, Room for Improvement and Comeback Season. Drake was seen as one of the biggest up-and-coming artists in the game, and this led him to getting a Wayne co-sign and joining him on the Carter 3 tour. Your guy will get a Lil Wayne. And this was Wayne at his absolute peak, creating what was called to this day one of the biggest major label bidding wars in music history for Drake. And despite this, Drake was always closely affiliated with Young Money pretty much from the early days of the Wayne co-sign. And it was no surprise when he eventually ended up signing with Young Money, which was after the release of this mixtape, So Far Gone. It was later that year in 2009. And again, the major success of this mixtape led to Drake re-releasing a So Far Gone EP, which was only seven tracks and featured two new songs not on the original cut, which were Fear and the one you all know, I'm Going In with Wayne and Jeezy. So that's kind of the background of this. But Will Gill at the time now. I don't mean to date you, but you're a little bit older than me. You're a little bit ahead of me on the curve. So like, I had a very childish. I think I was I what was I? I had to be 13. So I was just kind of getting into music. I didn't really fully understand it. But what was like kind of your reception of Drake and So Far Gone around this time? Like, what do you recall the buzz around him, the buzz around the project, all that?
Yeah, so 2019, I'm 1 year removed from high school, and for me, the buzz was what was great about Drake from the beginning was that I loved his music just because I thought the rapping was high level, the song creating was high level, his ear for the beat selection was great. And then what made his music even better is that women loved Drake's music. So I'm fresh out of high school. I know anytime, a honey comes in the car, I could put on this Drake. We could both enjoy this music. We could talk about it. We could rap along with each other. And then that's what kind of energy I got from early Drake was like, women love Drake, men love Drake, and he helped us come together.
Shout out to Drake for that, man. It's still 10 years later doing that exactly. But yeah, I had a different experience. I was just a young kid. I mean, I wasn't at that level yet. But like as far as like the cuts of Best I Ever Had, like that's what I remember from this. I don't really remember listening to the full project, but I remember hearing the break off cuts off this like Best I Ever Had, Brand New, and being blown away by this artist. Were you like at that time, were you able to kind of like gauge like the sense of like what Drake was within the rap community, like how people were receiving it or not really?
Yeah, I would say just so we're clear, the first time I ever heard Drake was Best I Ever Had, and then listening to that record brought me to the full mixtape of So Far Gone. And then I would say, yeah, it was pretty evident that Drake was something special right away. Like, it's easy to hear that now and kind of roll your eyes at it. But this project as a whole, what made it easy to accept Drake is just the range that he was delivering throughout this whole mixtape. You have like records like Houston Land of Vegas, which is kind of like a strip club anthem, which is like that's a hip hop staple. Like, Drake's got that in there right in early. You have a pop record like Let's Call It Off. You have records like Uptown and November 18th. That was like a Houston style record created by a Jewish guy from Canada. And somehow all these records were able to be on this one mixtape, all fit together and flow. And I think everybody that listened to it was it's pretty undeniable that you're like, this guy Drake is going to be something special for a long time, just because it felt like I was listening to a guy that had the full package. And he wasn't even Champagne Poppy yet. He was still a shopping bag Drizzy at this time. So, he still had levels to go, but right away, you could tell that this guy had it all.
Yeah, man, 100%. That's the perspective I get visiting this in hindsight, this full body of work. I think it wasn't until later in 2009 that I listened to it as a full body of work, and even beyond that before I became, so involved with music and able to kind of understand and process it. So I always come from a retroactive point of view. But let's kind of talk about it now. So it's 10 years later. I was somebody who was following the tea leaves very early. I mean, the whole Kanye Twitter war with Drake in December, like that was all about Drake getting the sample clear for Say You Will and all that. So I kind of knew in the back of my mind that So Far Gone was coming, or it was trying to, or Drake was trying to make this a thing. And with that being said, you know, so I started re-listening to it myself to prepare for this podcast and for this conversation. And I think the music holds up pretty much exceptionally well for most of the records. I mean, how do you feel about this 10 years later?
Yeah, this mixtape is undeniable. It's one of the easiest listens you could have with a hip hop project that's not just so sweet that it's like like nasty pop. But it's a very easy listen. And what makes it tight too, where it has replay value even though the listens are easy, is the Drake is coming through with bars. Yeah. Like the clearance track that you touched on earlier, Say What's Real. Man. Like, bro, like Drake is just hitting us over the head with bar after bar after bar. It's introspective.
That Blackberry bar, man, about if you find my Blackberry with my raps, give it to a rapper because they need it more than I do. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
And then, like, another bar that sticks out to me was, like, on November 18th where he was like, I sent your girl a text. She sent me one back, but I ain't even read it because pussy's only pussy and I get it when I need it. I was like, this guy Drake, man.
Yeah, man.
So he's coming through with the sonics on this album, and he's also coming through with the bars, and I think that's what makes this mixtape so enjoyable, so easy to listen to, and so easy to go back and re-enjoy it.
Yeah, man, I agree with that 100%. Like, a lot of these records hold up. You know, there's a few, like Unstoppable, which even though I like that track, I mean, definitely doesn't sound like it could fit in today's music. If it came out, but there are some records on here like A Night Off with Lloyd. Like, I think that record would still smash today if it was dropped, because it's got that very 808s inspired instrumental, and there's a lot of 808s inspiration on here. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, even the what's the one I'm thinking of? You just mentioned it earlier. Track 4. It's the pop record.
Let's Call It Off.
Yeah, Let's Call It Off. Yeah, I think that one's one that could still pop today. Best I Ever Had could still easily pop today. Like, that's, to me, one of my all-time favorite Drake songs. And I think that's Drake at his best, balancing rapping and singing. And so, you know, there's a lot of cuts on here that just today still sound fresh and still sound like they can hold up to today's music. So that was really what impressed me the most about this. And it's part of the reason why I think that this is Drake's best body of work. Lil Gil, are you with me or against me on that take?
I'm not riding Chris Platy. I am not riding. To me, best body of work from Drake is Take Care, Not Close. And the reason why I would say Take Care is just, to me, like, that album sounds more mature. It sounds like Drake is grown up. The themes on there mature. The sonics of the album is a little bit more mature. For me, this mixtape, it makes me feel like a teenager, and I don't always love that, and so to me, I can't get over that enough for me to put this past Take Care for Drake's best body of work.
Yeah, you know, I will agree with that to an extent. Like, I've argued this the last couple weeks on Twitter about just Take Care versus So Far Gone, because that seems to be the consensus. Like, if I were to divide it, there's basically three camps of Drake fans that will say, there was a camp that will say So Far Gone's the best, that the majority will say Take Care, and then there's another small percentage that says Nothing Was the Same. And so, to me, when it comes to Take Care, you're right, like, the thing I will always give to Take Care is the higher highs on that project are much better. Like, there's more higher levels on there. Like, Best I Ever Had is one of the best records between those two bodies of work. But then after that, maybe, you know, the next three or four, even five, go to Take Care. And so I've always given that point. But to me, what makes So Far Gone is best, and this is something, Will Gil, you and I have always talked about when it comes to Drake, and it's that it's that batting average, that hit ratio, right? Like, Drake always stacks his albums and projects, with a lot of records. You know, I think at 18, this is his second shortest project. And so, you know, that's something that's really, that's really makes it hard for an artist to hit on all 18 songs or near all 18. And with Take Care, you know, I went through and I did the math. I got about 5 records that I skip on Take Care, but I got maybe 1 that I skip on this project. And so that to me makes this project better. And the fact that I think this project better captures his personality than even Take Care. And I know some people would disagree with me on that. Do you get what I'm saying when I feel like his personality, his charisma, his just ego, everything shines through a little bit better on this project, in my opinion.
No, I definitely stand behind what you're saying on that aspect of it, of his personality. And I think what kind of makes that statement true is that on So Far Gone, Drake is kind of, like, I know Wayne's there a lot and there's features on the album, but Drake as an artist to me is kind of standing by himself on this project. Yeah. But when you get to Drake and Take Care, we know about Take Care and The Weeknd's involvement in that album. And we know Drake has just evolved as an artist. And so he's on this one, I think on Take Care, I think Drake is starting to show that he's watching the movements of the industry. He's allowing himself to be engulfed by new sounds. And that's why, like, he blends The Weeknd's music so well with his. And when you go to So Far Gone, it feels 100% Drake, because it's probably the most Drake that we got of himself on the project is from So Far Gone.
All right. So you would, to clarify though, you would put Take Care number 1, and So Far Gone's what, second, third?
I'll put it second, but like to me, So Far Gone isn't, it's interchangeable between Nothing Was the Same and If You're Reading This Too Late. To me, those three projects are all kind of close to each other.
Mm. Yeah, If You're Reading This Is Too Late to me has become, it's a project that I've liked, but, and I know we're getting off topic, so I'll just make this quick point here, but with If You're Reading This It's Too Late, that's one to me that I kind of see as like right outside of that top tier, a top three tier, you know, like it's just a level, a small level, short of those other bodies of work. But I want to talk about what I have been theorizing and thinking about all these last couple weeks, and that is the impact that this could have on the music industry. And shout out Most Dope Kristen on my Twitter, because she actually tweeted this at me too when I was kind of hinting to it. I didn't want to put it out there because I wanted to put it on this podcast, but she already picked up the vibe I was going on. So shout out to her for that. But I've been theorizing that I think this could have a major impact on the music industry potentially. Now, right now, the first week sales numbers have come in, or well, the projections have come in, not the final numbers, but he's projected to move 40 to 50K units, with about 8,000 of those being pure sales. We'll get like for a Drake re-release mixtape, all things considered. Like, do you think that's a good number, a bad number? Like, if I were to make you guess before I told you that number, what would you have guessed?
I would have had no guess at all, to be honest. I don't really know the numbers game too much.
Yeah, I would have honestly guessed 100,000, just because Drake is Drake, and because I kind of overestimated a little bit of just how much there was going to, how many new Drake fans there was going to be, or how many of Drake's fan base this was going to be new to. So I think I pretty much overestimated that a little bit, because from what I got was, there was a good amount of people, yes, like I said earlier, that didn't know this project, but they weren't even they weren't really checking it out. Mostly what it was on Twitter was everybody going, man, I remember being in high school and, like, you know, like playing this to get girls, or like, you know, like all the stuff, you know, that we were just talking about at the beginning of the podcast. So I kind of overestimated it. And so that kind of has me a little bit concerned, but I'm wondering, you know, if this is considered successful, and you're right, I'm with you, Will. I don't know what the number is that the industry would consider successful. I would have guessed 100,000 just because he's Drake. But I think that if this number is considered successful, we could see the string of like classic 90s and 2000 mixtapes that aren't on streaming services, and in some cases are no longer on that piff, like make a return, you know, like some of these records, like here, I'll go through some mixtapes. Like these are classic mixtapes that have over a million downloads on that piff. And these were like essential, and you know, these, and I know these, but there's a whole nother generation that doesn't know these. And that's, and so I want to get your thought. Go ahead.
Okay, so just before you spit out the list, I just want to say I've been thinking about like these classic albums being dropped onto streaming services, and it makes sense that Drake was the first one to get his up because you know he's Drake.
Yeah.
But I really thought that Wiz Khalifa's Cushion Orange Juice was going to be the first mixtape to kind of make its way to the streaming platforms, just because. Oh, it's on there?
Yeah, it came back in July actually.
Oh, then I'm going to shut the fuck up. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I got actually a list of some of the ones that have come up before, but you're right. I thought for sure Drake would be the pioneer of this. And, you know, maybe we do have to, in hindsight, credit Wiz, who dropped it, you know, about 6, 7, 8 months ago. But these are the ones that are currently on streaming services that are, these are like universally acclaimed mixtapes. And that's Cushion OJ, All the Dream Chasers, Macadelic, Best Day Ever from Mac Miller. Those are both from Mac Miller, actually. And Live Love ASAP, OD, and Section 80. So those are all mixtapes that are on streaming services right now. But I want to go through this quick list, and I want you to tell me yes or no on each one if you think it's going to find its way back to if it's crucial enough and important enough to find its way back to streaming services. So Detroit, Big Sean.
No.
Rich Forever by Rick Ross.
No.
The Dedication Series / All Wayne mixtapes.
Just 2 and 3.
Just 2 and 3. Okay, so you think only a select few of Wayne's. What about No Ceilings? I think No Ceilings could.
No Ceilings 1, not 2. No Ceilings 2 is terrible.
Yeah, No Ceilings 2 is 100% terrible. I'm with you on that. even maybe The Drought 2. The Drought is a really good one.
Yeah, the Drought 3, though, and like pretty much the whole Drought and a lot of Wayne's catalog, I just think it's too hard to get that one through just because it's the classic mixtape where he's just rapping 48 bars over your favorite rapper's instrumental. So that'd be hard. I'd be surprised if those make it up.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's difficult about Wayne, but I think Wayne's popular enough. I think Wayne is in that Drake tier in a sense where he could be the artist that is popular enough that has a dedicated enough fan base to get that to happen. You know, and so that's why I think Wayne has a good shot. What about Taylor Allderice and the Cabin Fever 2 by Wiz?
Taylor Allderice, yes. Cabin Fever, no.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Co-signment, Jadakiss?
I haven't heard it.
Yeah, I haven't heard it. I've heard it, but I don't know how many. I can't recall off the top of my head how many are actually you know, like industry beats that are already made. Like I don't know how many samples he'd have to clear for that one. But I would guess no as well. Friday Night Lights, J. Cole. I think this one will happen.
Yes, has to.
Yeah. What about the Soul Tapes by Fab?
Soul Tapes, no. To me, those are like mixtapes in its truest sense, the way the Droughts were. So I think those stay at that piff.
Okay. What about Purple Rain by Future? I was surprised this one wasn't on there.
Purple Rain. I could see Purple Rain just kind of getting switched over to streaming platforms without no hoopla behind it.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I think Future would try to make it a moment. I think he would, because that is a mixtape that's well-received by his fan base. But speaking of Future, the Project ET one that he recently did with Future and Esco, do you think that one makes it?
Nah, that feels like that should be a street cut for everybody that's in the know. I don't want that one on streaming platforms.
What about Kids by Mac Miller? That one's one of his most critically acclaimed mixtapes.
Kids? No, I would say no. To me, it's just too many instrumentals on Kids that are not original. And again, like, who's paying to get these clearances through? So I just can't imagine how Kids would make it there. But Mac has a lot of mixtapes with original beats that can make it and not be Kids. That's why I thought about it for a while. But I think he has other mixtapes that could make it up there that's not on streaming services yet.
Yeah, I think so too. Acid Rap and 10 Day by Chance. I would put money on Acid Rap. I don't know about 10 Day.
I don't think there's Acid Rap will make its way up because a lot of those beats that is on Acid Rap is from the Justice League. And I know like last year, Justice
Oh yeah,
League
that's
and
right.
the Chance were going back and forth. They had a pretty big argument about the rights of the music and not getting paid what they're owed. So be very surprised if that one pops up on your streaming devices.
Yeah, but Father Chance forgave them for their sins, so I'm sure things will be all right. I'm sure the Justice League repented, but for their sins. But what about some of Wale's big mixtapes, like Foreign and Mixtape About Nothing?
Nah.
Yeah, I
The
don't think
industry don't
so.
really like Wale like that anyway, so I don't, you know, I don't think
True.
anybody's cutting him any favors.
True. And then the last two series I got here. So what about the Young Sinatra Logic tapes? Because those have a really tight core following, but those kind of follow the mixtape vein of industry beats. But I think Logic has a diehard enough fan base that I think maybe these could be potentially worth it.
Yeah, Logic's in a special spot where he sold enough records where, you know, anything's possible. But like we touched on earlier, just so many beats that he's just rapping on that he'll have to get the clearance from. But he sold a lot of records, so anything is possible.
And lastly, Drake's other two mixtapes. Any chance Room Improvement or Comeback Season go? I would say no, just because to me, I think if Drake was rewriting his history, he'd want it to start with So Far Gone.
Yeah, I'm behind you on that one. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So all right, yeah. I mean, those are some of the classic mixtapes that I think, could maybe potentially someday in some universe make it to the streaming platform services. Will Gill, overall, I want to get just like a final word from you on this. Like, do you see this kind of mixtape resurgence happening, or do you think this Drake thing is an anomaly and we might get like one or two more and that's it?
I think this Drake thing is an anomaly. I think we'll probably get one or two more. I think the ones that do get green lit after this would be green lit because they have predominantly original beats on there. But I think Drake's kind of like in a class of his own where he could be beefing with Kanye but still get the clearance for Say What's Real. Like, you know, that's a special lane to be in, and that's what happens when you sell records the way he does. When you're as big as he is, you know, you kind of do what you want. But there's a couple of closing thoughts on like the So Far Gone, and it's cool that it came out on streaming services because streaming services is like the new way to digest music. Is to stream it. And it's kind of cool that like this is one of the first big ones that might start that new trend because to me this So Far Gone mixtape was the mixtape that like got people that weren't in the know about thatpiff.com, weren't in the know about mixtapes. It got them to go to these websites and download free mixtapes. Like I had so many people like when this came out was like, oh damn, I didn't know Wayne had all this music just like laying around on thatpiff.com for free. You know, and I feel like So Far Gone was so big and like such a force that like it changed the music industry in a sense that where like radio was playing like fucking Flo Rida and Soulja Boy still. And then the internet kind of swooped in and was like, we don't need you anymore. And So Far Gone was like the catalyst of that. And then later was follow up by, you know, Wiz was bubbling on the mixtape scene, J. Cole, Big Sean. And these artists eventually popped right after So Far Gone. But Drake was there first and he kind of smashed those doors down.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say first, but he was definitely, I think he was the one that really revolutionized it. You know, like there was like, don't get me wrong, like the Gangsta Grillz mixtapes and the Wayne mixtapes, those were all big deals. But I think Drake, just because of his sound was so commercial, even from the So Far Gone days, that I think he brought a new audience to Dat Piff.
Yeah,
And I
well
don't know
said.
if you,
That's a perfect point.
yeah. So, all right, Will Gill, thank you for coming on the podcast, man. It was a great time having you. I enjoyed this conversation. This was a So Far Gone conversation that I wanted to get out for a long time, and I'm glad it was you that was on this podcast. And I see that you're back to work on the Hip Hop Review podcast, so go ahead and plug that and tell them what you got cooking.
Oh man, we lit. Yeah, I'm back, baby. Hip Hop Review Podcast. Search us on all platforms except for Spotify. We still play music on our podcast, so we ain't gonna be on Spotify anytime soon. But we on all the other platforms. Just search Hip Hop Review Podcast. We'll pop up. This month, I'm reviewing Dr. Dre all month. So last week I dropped the Chronic review. Tomorrow, actually, I'm dropping the Chronic 2000 review. And after that, we're dropping Compton. So that's what's Hell going yeah. on this month. If you want to check it out, just search Hip Hop Review Podcast and you'll find us.
Hell yeah. I'm looking forward to those Dr. Dre reviews. That's one of our favorite producers of all time. And happy birthday, by the way, as we're recording this. It is right. Dr. Dre's birthday. So great.
Shout out to GOAT. Your part.
Yeah, shout out to GOAT of production. Thank you, Will, for coming out, man. Take care, buddy, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you for having me on.